All right, here we are, ready to go into our garden on Daf Nun Gimel, and Saba Josh is going to put a beautiful beginning to our day.
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
On Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. Chamor yotzei b'mardaat bizman shikshurabo. A chamor is allowed to go out on Shabbos. This is even into Rosh Hashanah. Even though it's wearing a mardat is a type of blanket, or the equivalent of a beged to a chamor, but only at such a time that it was tied to the chamor, because if not, there's always the chashash that maybe if it falls off, you'll come to carry it. We have found now that there's another issue, remember. So far we've discovered two issues now in the dinim of hutzah of behema. One of them is the din of shvitata behema. You don't do things that are going to cause moloch on Shabbos. But the other one is this gezer that we have, maybe it will fall and end up that the owner will take it out for a little walk in Rosh Hashanah, and then he'll be chayav. So that we're also gozer. That's a different din than shvitat behima.
Oh, shvitat behima is not the raisa.
Shvitat behima is the raisa, but the question over here is about the lav. There's a shvita alone, which is the man yanuach. That's the question. What is there's all kinds of machlokes in the Rishonim. What the difference is between the lav and the aseh? Whether mechamer is a diraisa or is a dirabonah? Whether hotzah is considered to be a diraisa for a behema? You know, some taina we mentioned before. The Bnei Yeshua says hotzah is bechlal not a chiyuv on an animal because it's only by definition, the understanding of the location, which the animal doesn't have, the malachar guruah doesn't do anything to the object, and therefore it's not. Okay, but this is something that we should get into more in the Gemara's about Mechamer, because that's where it's really going to get. But in any event, by the way, we spoke about the idea of the relationship of Mar to death and so on. Here the mardat is in fact the equivalent of boged and beged for a human. It's the bitterness of knowledge, mardat, which is it's used very often in very strange ways in the Gemara. So here, chamor, a relationship to mardat, is similar to the relationship of Adam's limitations due to physicality, which goes the whole idea of chamor, so that it now requires things to be done for it. Yeah, only at a time that it's tied. We'll see that this means tied Erev Shabbat. Zicharim yotzin levuvin. Now, zicharim, you will recall, is a way in which we refer to elim, stags. Which is interesting because in English we also view stags as being particularly male. So we'll use a very alpha male kind of attitude as being a stag, someone who's after the woman. The one shot in the Gemara that comes to explain this, because for some reason we're talking about Dafka Zicharim here, instead of just referring to the species. I mean, it has to have something to do with Zicharim. We're going to have a number of different pshatim, but what it turns out in the end, the Gemara seems to be most maskim to, is that Levuvin is a play, one of the cute Hebrew play on words. It's not really right to call it play on word, but remember in Lashon HaKodesh, as Tosis points out later, words mean what they mean and their opposites.
And their opposites?
Yeah, very much. It's very very much and their opposites. So we talk about to be midashen something. It means either to ladidashno, to pour dirt over it, or to clean off its dirt from it, right? There's many words like that in which a word is used to talk about lahashrish. Is to take root and to uproot, right? To be misharesh acharav means to uproot something so there's nothing left. But it also means to insert the plant and see to it that it takes root. Okay, so this is one of those words. If it's a play of that type of play on words, then levuvin would mean not for lovemaking, because levuv would be lovemaking. Libavtini achoti kala. Just later on from Shir Hashirim. In which case, it's implying that yotzin levuvin would mean a male, in the sense of a stag, would go out with something that prevented from lovemaking. Yotzin levuvin. It turns out that the pshat over there would mean, in fact, that they would usually put a leather covering over the genitals to prevent it from impregnating females. So that would be considered like a lavush. Rechelot yotzot shechuzot. That would be the opposite, says the Gemara, where Rachel has a problem. It's got a fat tail. Now that fat tail makes it awfully hard for the boys to get what they want because it hangs down low over the female. So what they would do is they would tie the fat tail up to make it more likely to get pregnant in the case where you want to have the Rachel impregnated. Or kibulot would mean just the opposite, that the fat tail was tied down so that it couldn't be impregnated. Ukivunot, you see that kvunot is where we know that they used to take care of the wool, still do this today, and in order to prevent the wool from getting dirty and so on, they would have a covering from birth, and then you get very fine and clean wool. That's kavun. Izim yotzot tsrurot. Tsrurot refers to tying now the udders. So that there's two purposes in this. Actually, three, as we'll see. Sometimes an udder hangs low, and therefore can get damaged on rocks and so on. So they would make a little bra, so to speak, to keep it up. Then the other purpose would be, if the animal was milking, then sometimes it'd be so much milk, the milk would be lost. So again, they would make a cup that would be tied on, in which it would collect the milk. But they could also tie tightly the udder so that the animal would stop giving milk in order for it to be able to become pregnant. So on this, humans do this also. You tie the breast tightly to prevent milk from coming in. So here, we'll see that there's different approaches to what the tzuros are. There's a machlokas tanaim, what type of tzor is mutter. Rav Yozi oser bikulan chutz min archeinim hakvunot. Rav Yozi says all of the things that you're doing here, other than the protection of the wool of the Rachel, is not something that's being done for its purposes directly, and therefore it's considered to be a masui on Shabbat. Rav Yehuda Omer, the case that you said about Izim is only partially true. The Izima Yotzot Tsrurot, yes, liyabesh, if your intent is to dry out the milk, but not lechaleh, not to collect the milk, because then basically what you're doing is you're carrying around a cup to collect milk on Shabbos, which you're not allowed to do. We'll see, there's another issue, of course, and that is how tightly it's connected. If it's liyabesh, it's tightly connected, in which case it won't fall off when you carry it. If it's not liyabesh, and it's not tightly connected, it may fall off, so you could carry it. We'll get into the Gemara, into the differences here. Omar Shmuel, when the Mishnah says that a mardat is mutar for a chamor, that's only if it was kshuralo mi'erev Shabbat. It had to have been tied up onto the chamor before Shabbat, but if not, it's considered to be a masur. Now there's a number of different issues that are involved here, and why it's important that be from Erev Shabbat. And we're going to see that one of our important concerns is that it should not appear as if this animal is being used for business purposes on Shabbos. And so Memela, one of the approaches in the Rishonim about the Erev Shabbat is that if you do something on Shabbat itself, it looks like your kavana is, in fact, to take the animal on a trip. Why are you saddling up, so to speak? Something we would call, it's fueling a car. You're saddling up your chamor. Looks like you're about to go on a trip. And therefore, it would be also because of this. Rashi says later on that if it wasn't kosher, the Erev Shabbos, it doesn't have a din of its beged. It's like you're trying to put something on it now. Another issue is that you can't really get on a mardat, tie it on properly, unless you lean on the chamor. If you lean on the chamor, then you're being mishtamesh with the Baal Chai. You're not allowed to be mishtamesh with the Baal Chai on Shabbos. Another problem is, the Tosa suggests over here, is that it looks like you're being motzi the mardat. Your intent is to have it carry the mardat somewhere, even if it isn't that it's going for a long distance drive. Okay, again, we're going to be introducing in the sugya a lot of different concerns that aren't necessarily directly connected to the question of the masui of the behemoth. There may be other gezeiros that are involved. So here already, besides masui of the behemoth, which Rashi in fact focuses on as being the ikar problem, We've spoken about the chashash of a person carrying Rishus HaRabim if it falls, and we've introduced now a new chashash of that it looks like it's going to do business, looks like you're going out to the shuk, or it looks like you wanted to do malach on Shabbos in terms of carrying.
Do any of the korbanot of Shabbos require smicha?
Yeah, we...
And again, your
Mishnah. Yeah, yeah, it's a whole sugya, of course. That's the machlokes based on Beit Shammai about smikon yantiv, Hashanim, Mut, and so on. So, Omer, that, well, when we get to Chagiga, it's a big, big piece of the Masechta. Omer of Nachman, Matnitin Amideka. The truth is, the safe of our Mishnah, a little later on, makes it very clear what Shmuel is saying. It says over there, Enach Hamor Yotzi B'Mardach. We have a list of things later on of what an animal cannot be wearing on Shabbat. So one thing it says is that chamor should not be taken down on Shabbat if it has a mardat on it that wasn't tied. Now, when you say wasn't tied, what do you mean? You mean it wasn't tied at all? I mean, that's ridiculous. I don't even wish to tell me that. Pshita. I mean, obviously it's not tied at all. It's not going to stay on. There's no havamina that I could walk out with it. El Alav, the only meaning of that Mishnah would be Bizman She'inak Shuralo, meaning Mirv Shabbat. So when the Mresha was Matir going out with the Mardat, Bizman She'kein Shuralo, it must mean She'ik Shuralo, Mirv Shabbat, exactly what Shmuel was saying. So Michlal the Reisha Shekshishura lo Me'erav Shabbat Shema Amina. Tanya Ani Achi Chamor Yotzei B'Mardat Bizman Shekshura lo Me'erav Shabbat. Indeed, the Braita says clearly that the Kesher is for Me'erav Shabbat. V'lo Be'uka, but you can't go out with a saddle on a Chamor. Afa Pishe Kishura lo Me'erav Shabbat, even though it was there before Shabbat. Because again, that already looks too commercial. So, a mardat, yes.
What's a mardat?
A mardat is like that blanket that they put on it.
So it's a saddle cloth?
No, saddle.
No, I was talking about it. Mardat itself. So, sometimes you have a blanket.
A mardat is not kshura to the saddle in any way.
Sometimes they have a saddle cloth, and sometimes they have a blanket.
That's to protect the skin from the saddle, but the kshura. But a mardat on a chamor. The chamor, the Gemara points out later on, is never worn. It's like a saying. Chamor is always chilled, even in the summer. So the derech of a chamor is that it goes out always with this beggar. All right. So if that's the case, the ukaf already is not primarily for warming, and therefore we don't let it wear it. But the mardat is for warming. So even though the ukav is kashur, and therefore there's no problem with carrying it for shut harapim, nonetheless, it's not seen as a direct takshit, noi, or beged for the chamor. It's not directly a tzorach, and therefore it's considered to be a burden. The ukav also serves to warm it, so it can be wearing ukav also, bizman shekushura lo me'erav Shabbat. Ubovat shelo yikshor lo masrichin, ubovat shelo yikshor lo ritzua tachatz navo. The way in which you tie the ukaf so that it should stay on is that you have a rope that goes around to the back underneath the tail of the chamor, so that when it's going downhill, it doesn't slide. Remember, you used to load it. These were basically beasts of burden, and you would have what we do in our cars, we call racks. We'd have racks on the chamor, like the guy over here in the Arova used to deliver the fuel for Shabbos.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. So there's a rope that goes around the back of the chamor to prevent sliding when the chamor is heading downhill, as anybody who's had a bad experience of using his racks long and wrongly knows about. And there's also the masrichim, which go around the neck of the chamor, so that when it's going up, it doesn't slide down towards its back. So if you put those on, that's very suspicious, because that's done basically the one where you're tying racks. So there it really looks like it's going out to market. And that you're not allowed to do. But as long as you don't tie it on in that way, it's tied on not to fall off of a chamor, then, it says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, it's just another way of keeping the chamor warm. And it's also not considered to be a masri.
And those things do not do, don't do even Erev Shabbos.
Even if that was done Erev Shabbos, correct. Boy ne Reb Asi bar Natan mi Reb Chiya bar Ashi. Mao li ten mardat al gabe chamor this Shabbat. How about the mardat, which is really a blanket and keeps it warm, could I put that on Shabbos itself? I understand I can't go out unless it was there before Shabbos. Fine. I don't want it to go out. It's in my chutzner. I don't intend to go outside with it. I just want it to be warm. So is there a problem in the putting on the mardat, or is the problem only the yitziyah with the mardat if it wasn't kashur me'erev Shabbat? Amar le mutar, there's no problem in putting on the mardat. Amar le v'chima ben zelu ukav. And why is the mardat then in this issue different than the saddle? Ishtik. So Chiya bar Ashi didn't respond. Now Reb Asi bar Nosson thought that the reason that he didn't respond is because he held that an ukav is also mutar. Let's sit there and argue. You're telling me what's the difference between this and a saddle. Who says there is a difference? I'm going to sit here and play with you. So he kept pressing him, and he said, now, I hope you don't think that an ukav is mutar. I mean, that's a bright eitzvei. Ukav shal gabe chamor lo yitzatzu lenu biyado. If a chamor is wearing an ukav, you're not even allowed to carry the ukav in your chatzer. You have to let it fall off by itself. You can have the chamor walk back and forth to the chutz until it gets so loose that it falls. So for God's sake, if you're not even allowed to carry it, you're not even allowed to carry it. So you certainly can't pick it up and put it on. So how come when it comes to the yukav, the brightness is clearly that you're not allowed to? And when it comes to the madad, you're telling me it's about to look at chila. I don't get this. So now Rabbi Zera overheard this conversation, and he saw that Rabbi Asi was misreading Chiya bar Ashi. He said, so Rabbi Zera said to him, hey, cut the pressure. Shavke. Kirabe Svirale. The reason he was shosik wasn't because he disagreed with you, he just doesn't agree with your sources. That's the point. He has his source and his Rebbe, which is Rav. You hold that it's usher because Yukav is usher, but that's, he wasn't going to argue with you. But Lamais, you should leave off of him. Shafke, Kirabe Svirale. The Amr Kiyah Bar Ashi Amr Rav. Here we see that Hipatherish is the one who brings Rav Shita. Tolin Traskal Beima B'Shabbat. You're even allowed to hang a little basket full of feed on the neck of the Beima on Shabbos. Now, I mean, what's the point of that? What is it? So difficult for the animal to put its head down and to take the feed from inside a trough. Elamai, it's a convenience. Ramani anu, for your animal to be happy on Shabbos.
There is
some exactly, it's a great onik Shabbos. You put a trasko. So if you're allowed to put a trasko, which is only basically for onik Shabbos, that means that your matir for the tzrachim of ta'anug. So a kavachomel amardat uma hatam b'mishum ta'anug shorui. You're allowed to put a traskel on, even though it only makes life happier for an animal. So often, mishum tsar lo koshake, you're putting on a mardat. The mardat keeps the animal warm. So I'm wearing the mardat, it's going to be chilled. So koshake, it should be mutter. And that's why he said it's mutter when you asked him about putting on a mardat. And then start asking him from the case of the ukav. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, well, yes, the mardat indeed is mutar, because there it's real pain if it doesn't have it. Since it's real pain, so memela, this defines, find the same thing by an adam, the gavi yanta, something that is done to prevent illness, let's say, is considered to be shovel of haladam, even though I may not necessarily take a hot shower, but somebody who's sick, if I was strong, were ill, I would take this medication. So, okay, so that's mutter. Here it's the same idea. It doesn't mean that we're being matur because it's sar b'chayim or anything like that. It means that tsar of the behema is more definitive in terms of what is considered to be a malbush that's bottled to it than tarmug is. Because tsar is the most fundamental thing. So since now it will suffer without its mardat, that becomes now the way in which we view it to be normative. Or chamor, where's the mardat? Therefore, it's certainly no different than you wearing a pair of pants. Nobody would say to you, you can't wear pants on Shabbos because you're carrying. So now, Shmuel was matir, the mardat.
Yeah. So would that connect? And that is also
Ukov, because it's... No. So Shmuel said, okay, that I'm matir. The Trasko, that's Tanuk. That I'm not matir. The Trasko is not normal. Usually an animal, you just let the animal graze. But here you have to pamper it. So that pampering is not considered to be normative. And therefore, it's considered to be a maser. So Reb Chiya bar Yosef heard...
It's not the same thing as graze.
As what? No, Trasko is already something that he's carrying around with it.
Yeah, but that's got different food in it. Trasko has...
You could put that in a trough, too. You could put good food in a trough. What do you have to put it in a little basket for? That it should be carrying around the basket? So it's a tainuk, but a tainuk is not the way an animal usually walks around, and therefore it's called a maser. Again, the issue isn't to be matir tanug or tsara. The issue is what level of normal usage defines a maser or a dress. So Reb Chiya bar Yosef, who heard that Shmuel said that Trasko was aser, and only Mardat was mutter, went to travel to Shmuel, and he said over, Omer l'shmaitzi, the Rav commanded Shmuel. He repeated to Shmuel Rav's psak about Trasko because of Tainuk. And Shmuel's reaction was, Omer le, Yehochi Omer Abba, lo yada v'mila Shabbat v'lo klum. If that's what he said, then he doesn't know a damn thing about Shabbat. Don't listen to his piskei halacha. It was ridiculous. So in other words, to go and define Matsui in a way, it's something which is tainug, is so outrageous that I'm going to say, I won't even talk about it. Kisolek Rabbi Zera, Ashkel Rabbi Yomim Bayefes, Diyati Bekoam Alei Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, Notznim Mardat Agave Chamor B'Shabbat. So when Rabbi Zera came up to Eretz Yisrael, we find often that he discussed the Yonim with Rabbi Yonim Bar Yefet, so he found Rabbi Yonim Bar Yefet quoting Rabbi Yochanan that it's mutter to put a Mardat on a Chamor. Oh, so he was very happy, obviously. Oh, Yasher, oh, I'm so happy, that's great. V'chein Tirgama Aryoch Babava. And that's how Aryoch said the din was in Bava. Now, Aryoch, as we mentioned yesterday, is Shmuel. Either because Aryoch is the king of Elasar, as we spoke about yesterday, and Elasar is a remnant. It's interesting, here Rashi doesn't bring that, but Rashi's own pshat and chulin is that the Aryoch is a reference to Melech Elasar because we don't pasuk like Shmuel when it comes to Isser. Although it's interesting, in this particular case we do, even though it's Isser, those points out, that's because Rabbi Yochanan also pasuked. Okay. But anyway, Rashi over here, and probably that's why, by the way. In other words, when we want to talk about Aryeh generally, we're talking about a case where we're saying we don't pasuk like that. Here we're saying, hey, think about Aryeh, we do pasuk like that. So Rashi simply points out that Aryeh is a lashon of rex. In other words, we know that the Latin richa is in lashon hakodesh a fundamental way of referring to malchus. Avrech is den avad malka, as the targum says, right? So that means that rex is a Latinization of an older root richa that has to do with malchus. So our yoke is great because it's a combination of the lion-like attitude of malchus, in which he is sholeit. So Aryoch, the one who is sholeit on everything, he's the guy that said that in Babel as well. Tosus points out here that this is a reference to a particular melech, which is the king of Elasar. But he says the only reason that we use Aryoch melech Elasar is not because of Rashi's pshat, not Isser, but rather because it contains the word Ari. So we like the combination of Ari and Rex, but we wouldn't make it up ourselves. But since we see in the Torah one of the primal malachim is Aryoch, so yeah, we take that word for a title for Shmuel. But anyway, it's strange that he would say that, because, I mean, Rav said the same thing. When you say Aryoch, it sounds like, you know, it's part of the fight of Rav and Shmuel. I mean, this was getting bitter. You know, so Rav, I mean, Shmuel was so dismissive of Rav's opinion. You come along now and you say it over. Oh, indeed, the Rebbe Zera says, that's what Shmuel said. Understand, did Rav say differently? Rav also said you could put on the Mardat. As a matter of fact, that was the original source. We started talking about it. It was Rav who said that you could put on the Mardat. So now Shmuel agrees. What do you say? That's the way Shmuel said it. That's because you didn't hear the end of the sentence. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Asks the Gemara, wait a second. Ayoka Shmuel, I thought Rav Nami Omer. Yeah, but he heard the rest of the sentence. Alashame, Dahavi Messiah, Bey, Rabbi Yonah Bar Yefet ended with the words, Ve'ein Tolin Traskal B'Shabbat. You cannot put on a basket. So otherwise, he was agreeing entirely with Shmuel that the definition of Matzah is in terms of Miniyat Sa'ar, but not in terms of providing Tanuk. And that ran against Rav. That's why he said, "Betchein Tirgama Aryoch Dafka," and not Rav. Anyway, bottom line is:
would it make a difference if you normally do that in the during the week to give him a tantra bad or not?
No, I mean, unless it became in one place, maybe the tariff or something like that. You know. Anyway, it comes out now. You're saying that everybody seems to be agreed on this issue, right? So, dekulei amam yet mardat mutar. It turns out that the conversation that we originally had when Rabasi bar Natan asked Rabchia bar Rav, not Rabchia bar Ashi, actually is the correct person. Are you allowed to put a mardat? And he said yes, and he got all upset, and he said, "What's the difference between this and the yukra?" You know, and then he starts pressing him, and then we went off the topic. He says, what do you care? Rav says it's mutter. Okay, but we never dealt with the issue. What is the difference? In other words, you're telling me that my dad is mutar. Rabatsi was left before the question, so what's the difference? We never got to the bottom of that. So my shnami ukav, indeed, what is the difference? I mean, the ukav, you're not even allowed to move about on Shabbos. So Koshkin, you're not allowed to put it on. So how do you explain that? No, Shinei Hatam, the Efshir, the Nafio. Look, I mean, that's different. Since you don't have to handle the Ukaf, therefore, the Ukaf remains Aser, because you could just have it walk back and forth and the Ukaf will fall off. This is how Rashi works. Now, I mean, this is very, very disturbing, because I mean, that wasn't our question about how to get it off. Our question was putting it on. So why are we talking about that? That it would be not for Mamela. Because of that, many Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they understand that the question here is not the question that Rabasi Bar Natan asked before, because we've already begun to establish very well in the minds of anyone who's listen now, that a mardat is considered to be the normal way of warming an animal, and therefore it's considered to be a dress. For somebody to suddenly come along now and say, my shlomi ukaf, it's a silly question at this point. I understand why it's different than ukaf. We wouldn't be going back to that. Therefore, Taina is the Ran, among many other Rishon, that the Gemara now has a different question. If we're agreed that sar is something that we're mad, and that becomes not the normal way to. So why are we not allowed to remove the ukaf? Doesn't it have tsar from standing on the animal? You're saying that you do the things that are normal for tsar. Now Rashi doesn't like this pshat, because Rashi understands the issue of tsar is only there to define what is considered to be a beggar. It's not a factor in determining how to treat the animal on Shabbos. So the fact that we can remove something for heat would have nothing to do with it. Did I ever tell you you could do the slightest iser because of a tsar? No. So what are you asking me? Why am I allowed to put on a mardat and not allowed to remove the ukaf? What's the connection between the two? So if you're learning that the sugya indeed takes into consideration what level of gzera would you would have made about the possibility of tzar in an animal? And we would take into consideration the tzar of the animal. So then if you're matir dressing it with a mardar, why aren't you matir undressing it with an ukaf? To which the Gemara answers, because an ukaf, you can have it, an ukaf is heavy. You move the animal about, and it shifts a little bit. When it shifts, it falls off. It's top heavy. There's not a problem. So Mimela, why should we be matir since there's another Eitzah? Walk back and forth until it falls off. That's how they understand the issue.
You should untie it.
Well, I mean, loose.
Well, just the case of it was ready to hook up before Shabbos, I presume.
Whatever the case is, and obviously it's got to, we can't do Isurim on it, but the question over here is the tiltal of the mooks is our problem. Rav Papa says, I'll tell you very simply, kam rechamama, kam rechanana, there is no tsar involved. Because, look, to warm up an animal, yes. Rechamama, eat like tsara. A chamor never has tsar for being too hot. Because even if it's too hot, it has a capability of so rapidly losing its heat that it chills itself. A chamor is always cold, even in the middle of the hottest day of the summer. So therefore, why would we say that it's considered to be a normal behavior to undress a chamor? To undress a chamor is never necessary. I told you over that great joke that Rick Silver made, and nobody ever got it. And this is finally the mocker on the Gemara. I love that joke. I tell everybody, looks at me like I'm crazy when I say it over. That was brilliant. Say it again and make an ass of myself. The chamor. I'll try it one more time now that we're holding the circuit. He used to bump into this reform rabbi in Cincinnati all the time. He would take a walk in the morning. Anybody who remembers the Blazer Silver will remember that he always wore a heavy coat. That was his mode of dress. Didn't matter what the temperature was. So here it was a warm day. And he meets this rabbi from the reform seminary. And the rabbi looks at him and says, "Nu, chamra afilu b'tkufa de tamuz karirale," calling him a chamor. What are you wearing a madat in the middle of the summer? So he says to the reform rabbi, and this is where everybody breaks down my joke. He says to him, "Did you ever think why that's true? The reason that it's true is because a chamor goes outside, looks at the calendar, and says, it's summer. It must be that it's warm. The fact that it happens to be a cold day doesn't interest him because an idiot thinks it's summer, it has to be warm. So he gets cold because he doesn't wear his clothing." It's like the old elephant joke. Nobody gets it. He was telling the guy, "It's freezing out here. You think because it says on the calendar it's June 24th and the mela must be warm. So you're walking around without clothes. The chamor is cold." Okay. I'm never again believe
that. It's fine. It's like the pause a second. It's like the rewind.
Say Blee Nether.
I said Blee Nether. Nice. Lo yetze hasus bizanav shual. They still do. It's very interesting. People still put on their horses or their horseless carriages, as the case may be, rabbit foots and rabbit tails, or so on. They used to use fox tails. Yeah. So they would have a fox tail, and they would put a fox tail on the sus as a sign of good luck. It's interesting that the tail is good luck charm. These are these pretty ribbons that you use to make your horse look more dashing. Which we had a whole discussion before about Atsuvamitinov, what's considered to be a burden megabi an odom, where he's not interested in the actual clothing, so a kis is just there to gather simonim of zivos doesn't really act as a beged. Velo izim bekish bedadehem, which would collect the milk. Velo pora bechasum shebepia. Sometimes you put a muzzle on a pora so that it shouldn't eat as it walks by other people's places. Then you take it off and get the place where it's going. Velo sayachim betras kalim shebepiam lushet rabim. Nor should the ponies be wearing their baskets when they go out. Velo behema besandal shebaraglea. A behema should not be wearing its shoes to protect it from, you know, like a horseshoe kind of thing, except that this was removable, to protect it from pebbles and things like that. Velo bekamia, nor should this behema, even though it voted shas, it should not walk out wearing its kamia on Shabbos to protect it, make it better.
What's a kamia?
A kamia is a charm, a good luck charm, an amulet, yeah. Apapishu mumche, even though this kamia has proven its worth and has cured people in the past. Vizol chomer bebeima beba adam, and this means that we treat an animal with greater chomer than an adam. Now, ostensibly, this means that an adam who votes shas is allowed to wear a kamia on Shabbos, but a behemoth who votes shas is not. Later on, the Gemara will ask about this, yeah. But that's what we're assuming it means. Avo yotzeu ba'agach al gabei hamaka. An animal can go out wearing a bandage, and even if it falls off, you're not going to carry it dirty bandage. Ubekishishin shal gabei hashever, or if the animal is walking on crutches, you know, it might, you can walk on its crutches. Actually, the kishishin is two splints that you put on a break in a bone. Ubishilya hamadudelet ba, and also if it's got its afterbirth is half in and half out, and it's that's not considered to be carrying. Upokakin lazug shpitzavara. You can also stuff up the bell around its neck, and it could still wear it, and since it's not ringing, it doesn't look like it's being taken to market. And mitayalatimo b'chatzer, as long as you don't go out, you're in the chatzer, not in Rishus Harabim. If you go in Rishus Harabim, then it looks very suspicious, wearing its bell, looks like it's on its way to market. But anyway, katani miat, what's important for our purposes, is just that phrase. V'lo sayachim b'tras kalim shvipim l'shut Harabim. What does it say over there? They cannot wear their baskets when they're going out into the Rishut HaRabim. And why? So it's only Rishut HaRabim with the law of a chatzer shaper dami. You're telling me that in a chatzer, it would be okay for them to have a traska, okay? When I asked you before whether you're allowed to put on a mardat on Shabbos, clearly we weren't talking about Rishut HaRabim. As we've already established for the Mishnah, that a mardat can only be worn if it was put on before Shabbos. So my question, my original question, the whole discussion we've had on this stuff, was limited to cases where an animal's in a chatzer, not going out versus Shabbos. When you assert traska, Shmuel, you assert a traska, meaning even in a chatzer, so that whatever the reason is, and there's many possibilities. The relearned, the reason is, all through these issues, is because of unnecessary tircha and shabbat. Okay, fine. It's a possibility. Maybe you'll go out with it. It's another possibility. Looks like you're preparing for business. Another possibility. But whatever the answer is, it says over here, you can wear a traska. Only to reach around him, you can't go out. Fine, I understand. But we're more machber and yitzia. Maybe because it's more of a masui, maybe because it looks more like you're on your way for a trip, whatever the reason is. I always accepted Rishus HaRabim is more common. But mashma, pavachatzer shaper dami, correct? Now, shall we not assume that the case over here is also gidolim umishum ta'anu, that we're talking about well-grown ponies that would have no problem in eating, other than it's they have to bend, right? They have to bend. So this is a tanug that it makes life a little easier. Says the Gemara, no, it's actually talking about ketanim. The ketanim, surprisingly, remember the ketanim have very long legs. The pony is comes out a long way, but it's got a short neck. And therefore, it's more difficult for it to be bending. It's even possible that the lashon of sayach comes from lasuach, which is they're always looking like they're bending. It's very difficult to get things off of the ground. But in any event, whether that's true or not, the lasuach for them is a real tzar, if they're ketani. And mishum tzar mamish we were matir, because we said before you could put the mardat on because of the tzar. The only reason that shul was cholik on the traskel, because was the traskel was for tanug. This is the same tanug, is not considered to be a way to deal with the animal machakas. So here we're talking about the ketanim mishum tzar. By the way, I'm not just saying this. Deikanami, if you take a look clearly, you'll see that I'm right. Because look at the context in which the case is brought. Diktani dumia de kamiya. Why does this appear together with a list that includes wearing a kamiya? If it's wearing a kamiya, obviously this animal is not feeling too well, right? That's why an animal wears a kamiya, it's supposed to cure it. So what we're talking about here in the later part of this list are things that are done in order to prevent headaches or bending too much. Okay, so there Shmuel would agree, you can't ask a kasha. By the way, you're telling me you can't wear a kamiya even though the kamiya has already gone through laboratory testing and it's been found to be effective in 97% of cases. Patients recover within 2 weeks after wearing this kamiya. Of course, they would have recovered just as fast without the kamiya, but that's not the point. The point is that it's been laboratory tested.
How do you know when a horse has a headache?
See, we're talking to a city boy here.
Okay.
But doesn't it say beferush later on in the end of the Mishnah, in the list of things that an animal cannot go out wearing? It says veloba kamiya she'eno mumcha, can't go out with a non rav kaduri type kamiya, but it could certainly go out with a well proven kamiya. And that you just said it can't go out with a kamiya even when it's already gone through its testing, right? And because it says, I mean, very clearly, mumcha shapir dami. If it was well proven, then it would be okay. No, here, of course, in this Bryce is talking about where it's a kamiya that's not a mumcha. Oh, that's really interesting, because it says, even though it is a mumcha, but I guess in your terminology, that means when it's not a mumcha. No, let's not be sarcastic. Mumcha la'adam, they know mumcha la'beima. It is a kamiya mumcha. What it means is it definitely cures people. You know about these laboratory testing, which they assumed that they could do cross-species testing. So since this has been found effective for mice, and clearly it's in all the health magazines in the next week, mice said this cures cancer in mice, therefore this is the new big thing.
So this is the opposite.
Of course, it's just the opposite. So something cures people, therefore it's bound to cure horses.
Not tested on animals.
That's brilliant. Hell, new way of living. That's gorgeous. So katzani mumchala adam. So they're talking about mumchala adam, not mumchala. What, is there such a thing? I mean, I know they do in the other way. They say if you test it on rats, it doesn't prove anything about people. But, I mean, I thought once it's good for people, for sure it's good for rats, no? So, mi'ika mumchal adam alo avi mumchal beim, huh? She goes, yes, on the contrary. Adam, the itle mazla misayele. Beima, the letle mazla lo misayele. A human being is actually more difficult to get rid of than an animal. So he has all types of kochos of recovery, which are called mazla, which means that something that works for an adam does not necessarily work for an animal. I mean, take a look at the placebo effect. It's very hard to get a placebo effect on an animal. Seriously. And that means that there is a profound relationship of an adam of himself to his illness. which is completely lacking in a behemoth. Therefore, a kamiya that will work on an adam does not necessarily have any meaning to an animal. So, iachi, wait. So, if that's the case, then it isn't true to say zechomer be'ma be'adam, because it's only because it doesn't work. In other words, you're telling me if it would have been a kamiya mumcha for the animal, would have had the same halach as the kamiya mumcha for an adam, for an adam. So then it's not, it has nothing to do with chumra. It has to do with it, with whether it's effective. That's all. So how do you explain those words? So then why does it say my zechomer ba'bi be'ma be'adam? No. Some of the kamiya, what do you think? That those words were referring to the thing about the kamiya? Those things were referring to the sandal. Can a human being walk out with a shoe? So why shouldn't an animal be allowed to walk out with a shoe for its sensitive hooves? It's a chumra. Okay. And the kamiya indeed is exactly the same, assuming it works, you go out with it.
I've never heard of these removable.
What?
I've never heard of removable shoes for animals. So
that's why the Jews stopped using it, because then they couldn't put them on in Shabbos. Tashma.
And the whole world had to suffer.
That's a listen. Bishvilini ra'olam. Bishvil Yisroel shenikravashis. Tashma. Sachin u'mefarchasin la'adam. Ve'ein sachin u'mefarchasin la'behima. Now let's take a look at this. You're allowed to pour oil and rub in the oil into an adam, but you can't do the same for an animal. Now, isn't this even my love? To eat a maka umishum tsar. In other words, this apparently means that even though there's some kind of problem, the animal's got scratched. Now you're trying to make it feel better, remove maybe the last bits of the scab. So it apparently even mishum tsar tells you. No. Go my maka mishum tano. It's talking about that the wound is already healed, and you're now trying to get this animal to feel better. So a human, you can do that on. An animal, you can't. Tashma, behemasha chazad dam, ein ma'amidim ota b'mayim, b'shvil shetitztane. An animal that has sunstroke, you cannot put it under water on Shabbos in order to cool it off. Whereas an adam she'achazo dam, a human, however, you can put a human into water on Shabbos, even though you would say, oh, isn't this a refuah? But there's no problem of doing that for the person. Why? If it's bikuach, even if it's bikuach nefesh, it should be no problem. But even where it's not, it's still aser. It's mutter for the person and aser for the baby, even where it is. So the problem over here is that it's a gzera because of all refuah, which are gzera. Maybe you'll make medications on Shabbat. So then, assuming that there's no pikuach nefesh, why are you allowed to cool a person off? No, Adam near a kamekar. Adam looks like he's cooling off. No, so then the behemoth also looks like he's cooling off. Why? I mean, why can't we say that your cow wanted to go for a swim? Why is anybody going to think that it's a refuah? Because cows don't go for swims. In meikar lebehima, okay?
Like they go on with someone.
They don't go for swimming.
Oh, meikar means?
Meikar means to cool off in the water. They don't do that. There's a beautiful description, by the way, of such a thing in Harriet, one of Harriet's cases, James Harriet. Talks about a horse that was desperately had sunstroke. So the temperature was 109 degrees. It was, and it talks about like how they chilled him off, and an incredible time it was. He's trying to get more and more of that, that cold water pouring over him. I tell Meret Chutzvotchum. So anyway, so Behemah Migazrina. Are we in fact gozer in a case where you are going to lose, but this is now, this animal may die from this. So we make a gzera, even though you may end up with a hefset of your behema. What about a case where an animal was standing chutzot chom? You can't go get the animal. Korela Liba. You could still call the animal to come to you. Velo gazer in dimati latriye. We're not gozer. That maybe you'll go chutzutchumi, you'll go bring your animal. Why not? Normally you're not allowed to do this. But in order to avoid the hefset of your animal, the animal will wander away. You won't be able now to get it. So we say it's okay to call it back in. So apparently for a hefset, we're not gozer. So why are we gozer? Mishum shikat samamanim. Omer Ravina, you misunderstand the case. The case is not that it's outside of your tchum. The case is that it's outside of her tchum. Because when an animal is given over to a shepherd, it takes on the tchum of the shepherd. It's like chafetzim take on the tchum of the owner. Now the problem is, it's wandering away. You want the animal to come towards you. To take it into your tchum, which is outside of the animal's tchum, you're not allowed to do. You cannot take things that are in a different tchum into your tchum. To call it and let it come by itself, you're not mitzvah on the tchumim of an animal, even if you're mitzvah on malacha. Therefore, you're allowed to call it, but we're talking about a case where there would be no problem for you, because shaya tchum shalom muvela mitoch tchum shalom. You could have a overlapping of tchumim. So let's say, in other words, we have a block in which both of us are allowed to walk. There, even though I can't now take it out of her own tchum, I can call her out of her tchum to follow me, and that's not a problem. There's no gezerah on me because I wouldn't be going out of my tchum anyway. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, the fact is that you're assuming that everybody agrees. But shchikat samamanim gufatanai, it's actually a machloket whether there is a gezera of animal medicine on Shabbat in a case where this hefset. The Tanya, beimasha achla karshini, an animal who overate these vetches, so it gets impacted. And the only thing you can do is you make it run. And when it runs, it loosens its bowels. And so lo yiritzena b'chatzer b'shvil shetitrapeh. You cannot force it to run around in order for it to get well. And Rabosha is matir. So you see that Raboshaya doesn't hold that there's a gzer of shkikat samamanim. In which case, ein hachinami, you can't ask. Even if the case of tchumim would have involved possibly an isser, gzerah, but maybe Mishum hefset, we wouldn't have been gozer. Dorash Rava, alokak Raboshaya. We're not gozer in a case of hefset of your animal. Omar Ma, is this going to be a standard problem that you need to get out? Because then I'm going to have to go faster. That's what you said yesterday when it was Thursday. Okay. Omar Ma, lo yitze azav bekis shelo velo izim bekis shebedadehem. Now, Tanya Yotso, to Zimbikis Shibadadeyem. I thought it says in a Braita that you're allowed to take out those izim wearing a bra, basically. Omer Rav Yehuda, lo kasha. How do mehadeka? The lo mehadeka. It depends how tight it is. Says Rav Yosef, and I say, what's wrong with you guys? But you forgot the Mishnah. Tanoy shakalta meyam, what'd you do? You picked up the Tanoy and threw him out of the window into some other universe. Tanoy! Titnana izim Yotso tsrorot. Rav Yosi Yosef Bekulon Chutzman Arechot Akvunot. Rav Yehuda Omer Izim Yotzot Zurot Only Liyabesh. Avolole Chalev. What is then? Clearly there's a machlokas about how much we allow the Kis Shibadadeyim. Well, you know what? Maybe it's not even machlokas tonight. It could be both is going on according to Rav Yehuda. When you said you're not allowed to go, it means you're not allowed to go to be married for Chalav. Where it says you are allowed to go, it's talking about liyabesh, where it's tied tightly. Tanya Amar Rav Yehuda, ma'aseh be'izim be'beit Antukia. There's a whole other issue that's involved. That these were the izim be'beit Antukia that had so much milk. Hayudadehem gasim, v'asulehem kisim, kidei shalo yisratu dadehem. They made a covering for the udder in order to prevent damage for their nipples. It's interesting, again, it's also, he's got a lot of cases like this. I'm telling you, you can learn a lot of veterinary issues in the Gemara from the James Harriet thing. If you want illustrations, he's got mamish fantastic stories about these kind of things. Mamish is all straight out of the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Maaseh be'achad shemeita ishto. There was once a maaseh of a guy whose wife died and left him a child. Niyecha ben linak, and he had to nurse the child. He did not have enough money to pay for a meneket. And a miracle happened. His own breasts grew like two female breasts. And he went and was meneket his son. What?
But he could have gotten this alternative
instrument
of money to pay for
some of the nursing. We'll see. By the way, Moshe Berger, who's a doctor and a painter, used to be in Daf Yomi, lived in Roma.
Yes.
He says that on the refugee trip after the war from Romania, what happened is there were a lot of orphans. Children, babies that had been saved. And many of the men nursed the babies. And he was absolutely shocked by this, especially as a doctor. And he researched it afterwards. And it turns out that testosterone actually prevents the hormonal changes in a breast that would allow a male to nurse. But estrogen, which is present in males, is restored more rapidly in cases of malnutrition and starvation, so that these men, when they were stimulated because of the need for nursing, in this case over here, the hormonal estrogen was stimulated by the sense of care. The whole female element, and it was common. It was like the strangest thing. That they could actually nurse.
That's
and only later on, when they restored their own hormonal levels, they became more male-like.
But they got the half medium tribe from the Sahara.
No, it just happened. This is like the craziest thing. Reports on seeing it himself.
Malnutrition
suppresses the testosterone.
But not the estrogen.
Not as much. When they started, it came back. It became more rapidly. It was amazing. Amazing. But anyway, so it says, Rabbi Yosef, take a look. What this guy must be a great man. Such a miracle. What kind of horrible person is this? That the whole Seder Bereishit has to be changed for him. That is the only way he can get along in life. Rav Yehuda makes Scott's point. Take a look how difficult it is to make a parnasa. It's easier for God to change nature, but that a guy should make a living, forget about it. That's already beyond. Rav Nachman says, I understand, that's obvious. Mizrakish needs some miracles happen day in and day out. Volibra Mizone, did you ever see anybody making any money miraculously?
Volibra was created.
Yeah, in other words, you don't walk into your house and suddenly find, you know, piles of money or grain in your home that you didn't.
Other miracles in life.
Other miracles we expect, but that's one miracle that doesn't happen. So apparently, it's a riot because she was on the social.
That's only after the curse.
Was that? This is beautiful. It's so beautiful. Turn around, one. Maaseh ba'adam echad she'nasa isha gidemet. It was a mice of a guy who married a woman who had no arm. He never knew that she was a gidemet until she died. Boy, this woman was really tsanua. That is, her husband never found out. What does that prove? Obviously, she doesn't want him to find out. That proves that she's tsanua. Take a look at this guy. If she walked around all the time like this, I mean, he wasn't gonna press, you know. So he never found out that she didn't have an arm.
With her hands covered.
Yeah. Okay, she's still a tsanua. I'm not gonna press. So he never knew that she was a Gidana. Zecharim Yotzim Levuvim. Now, Levuvim clearly has this sense of being close together, right? From heart. So what does it mean, my Levuvim? Amravuna Tutri. It means Tutri is two tray. In other words, two tunes. That is to say, we tie them together so they can't escape very quickly, because one is pulling one way, one is pulling the other way. So it's a very good way to take good care of your animals, because they'll never get together on which direction to go. So they're not going to run away. It's hard enough when you put kids together in that little game where you tie them together and they both have to hop to the end, right? It's a lot of fun. But it's almost impossible because two people can't coordinate properly. So if you don't want your animals to run away, you tie them together. So my mashman I levuvim lishta dekruve. Where do we see that levuvim means to be close? Dichtiv libav tini afotikala. You see that Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, we are close. We are in love. Ula amar. This means lave. It's also lave, not close. It's or shekoshulim keneged libam. Lo yiplo aleihem ze'evim. So you would cover with like a thick piece of leather to protect them from wolves, so that, because wolves would try to grab them in the soft part, the underbelly, around their hearts, and you want to protect that area. And so it's called levuvim. Wait a minute. Why would the wolves only attack the males? I mean, why are you calling these zecharim? What? Zevim zecharim nafli, and a kevot no nafli. No, but that's because the zecharim always walk first. We should the maske beresh idra. So the wolf sees the males up front. Zevim beresh idra nafli besof idra lo nafli. What are you talking about? Wolves only attack in the front. They don't attack the stragglers. That's ridiculous. No. Let me show the shmani. These zecharim are nice and fat. Oh, and none of the girls are fat, huh? They're all on such good diets. I mean, come on. The two, besides, how the heck do the wolves know the difference between the boys and the girls? I mean, come on. Me, yadi, ani, lahani, what do they know? Ela mishum de zakne chutmayu umazgu kidavu. The point is that the males look aggressive. The females walk, they keep their heads down. The males are constantly looking, they look right at you, and they're the ones that are in charge of the Yeder, and they have an aggressive stance, they keep their heads up. The wolves take that as a challenge, as many animals do. They tell you if you meet an animal, it's very important to keep your eyes away, don't make eye contact, put your head down, so that you should humble yourself, so to speak, and they don't view you as an aggressor. If you're coming at them and staring, then you're an aggressor. So they become now themselves aggressors. Okay, so they look at these males as being chutzpahdik, and therefore they go and they attack them. Whereas Renach Bar Yitzchak is very simple. It's or shekoshrim l'mtachat zachutan kidei shelo yalo al hakevod. What you do over here is we reverse the meaning of levuvin, and we use it as not anti-love making. So this means that you put a piece of leather to prevent them from impregnating the kevod. And that way you won't have problems with the nursing and so on and so forth. Mimai. And I can prove it to you, because you take a look at the Seifa. The Seifa is clearly talking about reproduction. Because this is the Rechalim, the females, Yotzot Shechuzot. What does Shechuzot mean? Shechuzot means She'ochazim al yashalem lamala. It means that the fat tail is tied up Kedei she'yalu aleihem zecharim, to make it easier for the males to impregnate them. So if that's the meaning of Shechuzot, then the Levuvot in the Reisha would mean the same type of thing. And there's something to do with reproduction. So the Reisha is Kedei she'lo yalu aleihem zecharim. So the Reisha is not to, the safest to, Kedei she'yalu aleihem zecharim. My mashma dai Shechuzot lo shinam degibuyu. And what makes you say that that's the meaning of Shechuz? Because those letters always have a sexual connotation in Hebrew. To say, Hinei isha likrato shit zona. Shit zona is a pretty filthy language. Shit is basically a same way we use in English. You know, that, there's something not nice about that that combination for some reason. So shit in Hebrew refers to it's a cheap word for the female genitalia. So shit zona, you can imagine the English expression. Unitsurat lev, so shachuz has in it that feeling, sha and za. So it's shit zona in the sense that it's a notrigram for something that means sexual exposure, in which case shechuzot means sexually exposed, levuvin would then mean the opposite, preventing lovemaking. Right? Interesting.
Oh, this is that Tosfos comes in the word.
Here's what Tosfos comes in about the use of the word in the opposite sense. I personally would have made another suggestion. I mean, not that it's okay for Tosfos' point, but the difference between shachuz and lavuv is very dramatic. In the correct sense, shachuz is low class, lavuv is very high class. Or shachuz is just pure mechanical sexuality. It's like a pornographic word. Whereas lavuv is a romantic word, livavtini, where shachuzot is disgusting. So the difference between a lavuv and a shachuz is that the lavuv would not be able to engage in pure shitzona. So it also implies a condom kind of thing, at least, you know, the lavuv element. It's like today you would refer to condoms as lovemaking, you know, like they'll use a euphemism. It's not necessarily a euphemism. In the sense of, you know, let's keep reproduction out of this. That's not the issue. It's not the mechanics. It's the love mix. So it's, could be that's the point. Okay. Wasn't that fun? Despite the fact that nobody's around to hear it. Ibamardat bizman nashik shurabo. Zecharim yotzim levuvim. Rechelot yotzot shechuzot. Kvulot uchvunot. Ha'izim yotzot srurot. Rabbi Yossi Yosser. Bekulan chutz b'narei chalim ha'kvunot. Rabbi Yudomir, Izim Yotzot Tzurot Yabesh, Avavo Lechalim. Omer Shmo, Lu, Shekshura Lo Me'erv Shabbat. Omer Nachman, Matisi Nami Teke, Diktani. Eina Kamor Yotzei Bemardat, Bezban She Eina Kshura, Tzei Echidomi. Ilei Meshenu Kshura Lo Klol Nu, Obshita, Dilmanaf Lei Vatil Atuye. El Alav She Eina Kshura Me'erv Shabbat, is the meaning. Bechla the Reisha, that is Kshura Lo means Kshura Lo Me'erv Shabbat, Shema Amina. Tana Ami Ochi, Chomor yotzei b'mardat, bezman shekshura lo me'erev Shabbat, v'lo be'ukaf, apapi shekshura lo me'erev Shabbat. Reb Shimon Gamliel omer, no, an ukaf also can warm up, bezman shekshura lo me'erev Shabbat, smuter, bevad shelo yikshur lo masrechin, bevad shelo yivshur lo ritzuat tachat zinavo, which looks a bit too commercial. Boi minei rabasi bar Natan, rekir barashi. Ma'o litein mardat aga b'chomor b'shabbat in a chotzer, forget about yod sol. Omlin mutar, I'm sure you're not going to disagree with the bride. Shmuel Amar, the Mardat part is, I agree, it's mutter. Traskel Asur, also Rebchia Bar Yosef, Ramon the Shmatz of Rav, Kamedi Shmuel Amar, oh man, Yachi Amar Abba, lo yadav, amil ha Shabbat, lo klum. Kisolik Rebbe Zera Ashkechel, Rebbe Nyoma Bar Yefet, the Yachi become the Shmedi Rebbe Yochanan, notni Mardat, agabe chamor b'Shabbat. Amar, oh, yasher, v'chein tirgim ha-ariyoch b'bava. Now, ha-ariyoch manu Shmuel, but Rav Nami Amra. But Shamid Abin Besayim Bey, the Ein Tolim Traskel B'Shabbat. That, he says, Yasher, the Chayim Tir Gemari, Yachubaba. But anyway, Kule Yamam Yed Mardad is Mutar. Maishlam Yuka, Shani Atam Devshid Enof Amimela. Rupop Amar, Kan Lechamama, Kan Litzanana. Lechamama, Yit Leitzara, Litzanana, Let Leitzara. Vahayin Adami Yinche, Chamra, Afil Vatkuv Letamas Kavir Alei. Nate, lo yitzei asus biznav shual, velo bizahu ririt shebin inav, lo yitzei azav bikishelo, velo yizim bikish bedadeyen, velo pora bechasum shebefia, velo sayachim betraskavim shebefiem lirushot harabim, velo beima besandal shebaraglea, velo bekmiya afa pishu mumcha, vizu chomer bebeima bibaad. Abo yitzeyu baagad shagabe amakah, ובקישישין שאגבי השבר, ובשליה מדודלת בה, ופוקקין לזוג בצברה ומטיילת עמו בחצר. Anyway, קטן ימיד ולא סייכים מטרס כמין שבפיד לרשות הרבים. Meaning, only לרשות הרבים עוד אלא, but בחצר שעפר דומי. I thought according to שמול הצעסר, האם הם בחצר? No, my love בגדולן. And the whole point is that time is mutter. No, בקטני. ומשום צער, economic בקטני, דומי דקניה, Shvami, oh. Oma ma, ve lo bekamiya afa pishu mumcha. Ay, va nan tzan, lo bekamiya sheinu mumcha. Mumcha shapadami. So, no, it's me here to mean sheinu mumcha. What do you mean? It says afa pishu mumcha, katani. Means mumcha l'adam, but it's eino mumcha l'beima. Such a thing? Mika mumcha l'adam, lo ha mumcha l'beima, certainly. Adam dit le mazle misayele, beima dit le mazle lo misayele. So, yachi mai zech chomre bebeima biba adam, No, misavet hakamiya koi, asando koi. Toshma, sochinu mefarchasim la'adam, ve'in sochinu mefarchasim la'beima. Now, my love, di'ika baka, umishum tzar. No, ve'gomar maka, umishum ta'anuk. Toshma, be'ima shachas adam, ein ma'amidim ota b'mayim b'shvush titztanim. Adam shachas adam, ma'amidim ota b'mayim b'shvush titztanim. אמרו לגזירה משום שחיקת סממנים. סתני אוכי אדם נמי. אדם נראה כמקה. סיוח הבאים הנמי נראה כמקה. אין מקה לבימה. לבימה מגזרינה. ועתניה הייתה עומדת חוץ לתחום. קורא לה והיא באה. ולא גזירה תיומעת אלא תויה. אמר בינה, that's where התחום שלו מובלע בתוך תחום שלו. ונק ביצחק זה שחיקת סממנים את סף זתנוי. ותניה, בימה שאכלה כשינית. לא יריצנה בחצר בשלושת יתרפי, ורבו שיהיה מתיר, דורש רבה הלוך הכרבי הושעיה. הוא אמר, לא יצא עזב בקישלו ודל יזים בקיש בלעדיהם, ואתן יוצאות יזים בקיש בלעדיהם. אומר, יודה לא קשה, אתה מהדק ולא מהדק, ויוסף אומר, וואט, תנוי שקלת מיומה, תנוי היד, תנוי, היזים יוצאות צרורות, רבי יוזי אוסר בכולם, חוץ מן הרחילות הכבונות, ורבי יודה אומר, יזים יוצאות צרורות, אולי ביבש, אבל לא לחלב. So fine, maybe it's Machlokas Tanoim, or you know what? Maybe it's both Rav Yehuda v'Lokasha. Kan liyabesh, kan lechaleb. Tanya Om Rav Yehuda. Ma'aseh be'izim be'et Antukia, sh'yu dadayem gasim, v'asulam kisim, k'day sh'lo yisrutu dadayem. Tanya Rabbonin, ma'aseh be'echad sh'mita ishto, v'inicha ben l'inek, v'lo haya lo z'char minekes. Na'aseh lo meis, v'niftecho lo dadim, k'shnei dadayi isha, v'inik ez b'na. אומר רבי יוסי בואו ראה כמה גודל אדם זה שנעס לא נעיס כזה אומר לי הבאי עד הרבה כמה גרוע אדם זה שנשתנו לו סדרי בראשית אומר רבי יוסי בואו ראה כמה קשים מזונותיו של אדם שנשתלו עליו סדרי בראשית אומר נחמן תדע את המשרח השניסה ולא עברי מזוני תודה רבה נמעשה באדם אחד שנעשה אישה גידמת ולא הכיר בה עד יום מותה אומר רב, בוא ראה כמה צנוע איש הזה, שלא הכיר בבעלה, אומר לו, רבי יחי, אמרה, זו דרכה בכך, וכמה צנוע אדם זה, שלא הכיר באשתו. זכרים יוצאים לבובים, מהי לבובים? אומר רבו נטוטרי, מהי משהו לבובים לשדקרו ודכתיב, לבבתיני אחותי קלה. הוא לא אמר, אור שקושרים להם כנגד ליבם, כדי שלא ייפלו עליהם זאבים. זאבים הזכורים נפלי, הנקב עוד לא נפלי. No, it's Mishum Damaski Bereshit. What? V'zeivim Bereshit or Nafli? V'sofit or lo Nafli? El Mishum Dishmeni. What? And the cave is like a Dishmeni. Besides which, how does the wolf know the difference? Miyadi benani lahane. El Mishum Dizakve chotamayu maski ki davu. Nachba Yitzhak Omer. Or shekoshrin lam tachat zachutan kidei shlo yalo ala nekevot. Mimai. Miliktani seifa rechelim yotzot shechuzot. So my shechuzot. שוחזים העלייה שלהם למעלה, כדי שיעלו עליהם זכרים, in which case, ראש עוצר, כדי שלא יעלו על הנקבות. וסייפה, כדי שיעלו עליהם זכרים, why do you know that's what it means? מהי משהו נהי שחוזות, זה לישת לגלויהו, תכתיב, והנה אישה לקרותו, שית זונה נצורת לב.